Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." And Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and she looked into that tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." And when she had said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, and she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said back to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. The reality was there was no reason to doubt. Jesus was not in the tomb. He had risen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you make all things brand new. Thank you for your victory and power over death. That by your might, Jesus, you were raised from the grave and you reign forevermore. Jesus, we praise you on this Easter morning. Lord, we need you every day. We need you this morning, Lord. We ask that you renew our hearts, our minds, and our lives this morning. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Well, happy Easter. What an honor for us to come together as a church family on this special morning. In our country today, there are two great Christian holidays each year. We have Christmas and we have Easter. For most of the country, Christmas is the bigger and greater holiday of the year. There's usually beautiful snow on the ground. There's our favorite classic Christmas songs. It's the time when we gather with family and friends. We sing, we celebrate, we laugh, and we exchange presents. Christmas seems to be the high point of the entire year. And Easter, for many people, it's just another long weekend, a break in the dreary stretch between Christmas and summer vacations. Easter seems to take a back seat to Christmas. But let me put that in perspective this morning. Easter is supreme. If Easter had not happened, Christmas would have no meaning. If Easter had not happened, Christmas would be nothing more than a sweet-sounding story. If Easter had never happened, then Christmas would be nothing more than a fable. And if Easter's not true, then Christmas is only the story of a baby being born in a forgotten village some 2,000 years ago. It's the great miracle of Easter that gives Christmas its power. Jesus died on Friday afternoon, and on Sunday morning, he actually rose from the dead, never to die again. He rose literally, meaning that it was his crucified body that raised from the dead. It was Jesus himself. It was not some substitute. He rose physically, meaning that it was not a ghost or a figment of someone's imagination. And he rose actually, which means it really happened. And he lives today. And that's what we mean when we say that on the third day he rose from the dead and he defeated death forever. The resurrection of Jesus is that kind of miracle. But it's not easy to explain, is it? The crucifixion, we can understand from a medical and science aspect. There was a death. We see other historical accounts of criminals being crucified by the Romans. But we only see one of them who was resurrected. And there was only one of them who foretold of his resurrection. The resurrection, this is the core, this is the heart, the very heart of Christianity. It's the resurrection. So if you and I were there that awesome morning, we would have seen that empty tomb. If we had been with his disciples and followers, we would have seen Jesus alive from the dead. And like the disciple Thomas, we could have checked out the evidence for ourselves. Can you imagine that? We could have seen the scars from the crucifixion on Jesus' hands and on his feet. But if we read from the book of Acts or any other New Testament writing, the main point was not, it was not Christ is crucified. It was Christ is risen from the dead. Acts 4:33 says, "And with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all." This is the true message that turned the world completely upside down and still does today. We do not worship a dead Jesus. We worship a risen Christ. But the secular world does not believe that. And sometimes, even believers live like they doubt. In the early church, some believers became confused when their loved ones died and were buried. Would they ever see them again? We can relate to that, can't we? When we go to a visitation or attend a funeral of a loved one, we stand at the graveside of a loved one, and it's very easy to let death overwhelm us. It seems so final. And thoughts like this filled the minds also of early believers. And it led them to a point of despair, even to the point of questioning Jesus Christ's resurrection. Maybe you yourself have been there in some dark, despairing moments. Maybe you've doubted God's goodness and care for your life or for your loved one's life. The Apostle Paul addresses these doubts with the Corinthian church. And this is great. We can be encouraged to know that Paul did not rebuke them. He did not shame them over their fears and doubts. Paul doesn't even try to prove them wrong with some detailed argument like he so often liked to do. In a grace-filled, loving way, Paul simply points all of them to the truth of Jesus Christ. Paul, with his very own personal testimony and with his very own life, points people to the empty tomb and says, "Remember that God raised his son." Everything hinges on that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, listen to what Paul says here. He says, "And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is worthless, and you're still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ, they have perished. And if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, then we are men most to be pitied." Basically, Paul says here that if Jesus did not raise from the dead, then our faith's not true. And then we're just wasting our time believing it. Even more important, Paul says that if that Christ's death cannot save us if he's still in the tomb. There's no forgiveness and we are eternally lost if Christ is still in that grave. But finally, Paul stops these hypothetical wrong answers and he gives them the awesome truth now. Here's what he says. "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep," meaning to those who have already died. This is incredible for all of us because this shows us our doubts do not disqualify us with Jesus Christ. Our doubts do not disqualify us for a life in Christ. Now, we mentioned the disciple Thomas earlier. Thomas, as we know, initially doubted the resurrection because he was not there when all the others saw him and talked to him after his death. Doubting Thomas. We like to pin all the doubting on Thomas, don't we? But here's the fact of the matter. They all doubted. Every single one of Christ's followers doubted him. Christ told them all for years exactly what was going to happen to him. He even gave them the perfect illustration when he raised Lazarus from the dead. But they didn't get it. And I think they didn't get it because this was so brand new. It was so different. It was went against anything they had ever experienced. They were missing this new thing. And this new thing was the power of God revealed. And this new thing was the promise of God realized, where they could see it and feel it. The disciples couldn't understand this at first. They couldn't see it at first. And it's the same for us, isn't it? So, where would you love to experience this new power, this new promise in your life this morning? How might this truth, his truth, his sacrifice, and his forgiveness make a difference in your life this morning? I want to tell you something. I understand your doubts. I also understand that many of us are hurting, and many of us are going through tough situations. But way more important than that, Christ understands this. Christ understands you. And he has compassion for you with your doubts, with your faults, and he is oh so very patient with us. Amen for that. The disciples missed this initially, and they lived with him for 3 years. And so it's understandable that we might miss it at first too. I got to tell you, personally, in the past, I struggled at times to have trust and confidence that God was in complete control of my life, even when things didn't make sense. Even when things looked dark and dreary, God was in control and he cared. So whether that was from old wounds from my past that got stirred up, or family struggles, or just hope and peace in my future. I don't know about you, but my flesh likes to be in control, and it's hard for me to ask for help and be vulnerable at times. But when I do this, this wreaks havoc on me because it isolates me. And then I'm just stuck in this self-imposed problem that I'm trying to take care of on my own in my own flesh power. This actually affects my relationship with Christ. It builds up walls and it actually keeps me away from him in a sense. And I suspect a lot of us struggle with this very same thing. When we do these things, it's really a doubting issue. And it's so much like the disciples who actually locked themselves in a house and were afraid after Jesus was executed. But I want to remind all of us that God has made a way for us. God paid the ultimate price for us forever. So I want us to understand this. Not let your doubts keep you away from Christ. I want us to understand this and not let our fears make us hide and detach from Jesus. Praise God. Listen to this now. Praise God that the greatest doubters often become the strongest believers. And honest doubts, once reckoned with and once resolved, become the strong foundation of a very deep personal faith. In fact, I'll say this, there's nothing wrong with doubts. There's nothing wrong with asking questions. We see that Jesus did not yell at Thomas, but he invited him to see and to actually touch him. And here's what happened. Doubting Thomas ended up preaching the gospel all over the ancient world. He ended up believing in Jesus' resurrection so much that he gave up his life for it when he was martyred. Thomas stopped doubting, and he knew and he lived this truth for the rest of his life. And that truth was that Christ was his foundation. For us, Jesus Christ can anchor us through any storm. Jesus Christ will anchor us through any storm. And the results here are clear. God takes those who were initial doubters and even enemies, and he uses them for his glory. Praise God for that empty tomb. So as much as I am in awe and wonder over the birth of Jesus, as much as I am awestruck over the sinless life of Jesus, and as much as I am flabbergasted in the cross of Jesus, it's the resurrection of Jesus that sets the whole thing apart. So I invite all of us this morning to run to the tomb and look in. Run to the tomb and see for yourself that it's empty. And then realize today that it's empty because he's risen and he's overcome. And then realize all that that means for you this morning. The truth is, even if someone doubts it, the tomb's still empty. Doubt doesn't change anything of what really happened. The truth is still the truth. But when doubting is simply asking for honest answers that aren't immediately seen by us, this can actually be an invitation to God to answer those questions, to meet those needs, and to speak to those fears that cause our doubts. So I invite all of us to come to a place where we can turn our doubt into dependence on him. It's a wonderful day to make that choice. It's a great day. It's the perfect morning to stop doubting and to start believing. If we have never made that choice in our life, I invite each one of us to ask Jesus into our hearts this morning. We all admit that we are sinners, that no amount of good works will ever be good enough, will ever be able to justify us. It is about accepting that Jesus took away our sins when he sacrificed himself on the cross. And that on the third day he resurrected and he reigns forevermore now. So if we have never really made that decision, I encourage you to surrender your life this morning and begin that faith walk with him. And it's done one step at a time. All we have to do is talk to him in our heart right now. And if we come to him humbly, Christ promises he will not turn us away. But maybe this morning, we can say that we've already accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But maybe we've let our faith grow cold. Maybe somewhere along the way of some difficult experiences or some tragedies, we became distant. Maybe we became broken in some areas. and then we became detached. If that's stirring something inside you right now, I invite us to recommit our life to Jesus this morning and give him our whole heart and soul and mind. Our eternal destiny rests in that one commitment right there, no matter where we're at. And here's the amazing thing. It's not just our eternal destiny that we're talking about. I'm also talking about our life here and now. Let's let Christ reign in us with the time we have left here on this earth. No one, I'm going to repeat that, no one is ever too far gone. Ever. If you're here this morning, your doubt is not too much for Christ. He loves us personally, and he's cheering each one of us on. So whatever our sins might be, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, the blood of Christ can wash us clean. It wipes the slate clean. Isaiah 30 tells us that the Lord longs to be gracious to us, that he waits on high to have compassion for us. So let's turn our doubts into dependence on Christ. Let's go from doubting to dependence. We're going to take communion this morning. And if you believe and you live for what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross and that he rose from the dead, then I do invite you to partake in communion here this morning, no matter what your age is. The way we do communion here at New Hope Fellowship is if you feel you're ready for that, you could come down the center aisle here in a moment. You can make your way to the left or to the right. We rip off a piece of bread. We dip it into the cup, partake, and then you can use the side aisles to sit back down. And we also have gluten-free options up here on the right side, your right side, if you need that as well. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we humbly take and participate in your communion on this Easter morning. Lord, may we depend on you right now. May we stop doubting and may we start depending. Jesus, we come to you with awe and with amazing gratitude for who you are. We love you and serve you for who you are, Jesus. We come with open hearts. We come with repenting hearts. And we come to your table right now, bowing down before you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. During the Last Supper with his followers, Jesus took some bread, gave thanks, and broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, which is shed for you. Come partake if you are ready this morning." No one is beyond God's reach. No one is beyond God's grace. If you've made a decision this morning for the first time, or you've recommitted your life to Christ this morning, we'd love to talk to you right now after the service during the week. You can fill out a white card. We'd love to be able to connect with you and talk with you more on that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the victory of Easter. Lord, the tomb is empty. May we never live again with doubt on that fact. May we never live as if Jesus is dead. May those who doubt now believe and find life in your name and in your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who died, who rose again, and who lives forevermore. Amen.